Jehovah is great! It's Yom Teruah! What's Teruah mean? To shout! You awake now? Psalm 100 verse 1 says, shout for joy to Jehovah, all the earth. Serve Jehovah with gladness. Enter his presence with joyful songs. Be aware that Jehovah is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the flock of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for Jehovah is good. His grace continues forever, and his faithfulness lasts through all generations. Jehovah said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel the designated times of Jehovah, which you are to proclaim as holy convocations, are my designated times. 23 verse 23 Leviticus. Jehovah said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel, on the seventh month, on the first of the month, it is to be for you a day of complete rest for remembering, a holy convocation announced with the blast of the shofar. Do not do any kind of ordinary work, but bring an offering made by fire to Jehovah. Might get you to skip a few. You ready? Hang on, let me skip a few. Now, we're commanded on this we just read out to remember a holy convocation. The word in Hebrew is zekeron. We're to remember that Yah is good, that he is great. And that the blast of the shofar is a reminder that he is going to be present, he's going to come, and he is going to make some changes. He's going to bring change to the land. It's preparation for Yom Kippur, for judgment, and his appearing. This reminds us, it's a memorial of several events throughout our history. And Ezekiel 19 verse 16 says, on the morning of the third day there was thunder and lightning and thick cloud and on the mountain. And then the shofar blast sounded so loudly, all the people of the camp trembled. It was scary. And Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet Jehovah, and they stood near the base of the mountain. There's something you notice here. Nobody was expecting the shofar to blast. That was the signal that Yah was about to show up, that Yah was about to draw close to his people. Yom Teruah is that notice. It's the one we rehearse every year, that the Messiah is coming, that Jehovah is going to show up. He always announces when he's going to show up. The shepherds were sitting in the fields, and an entire host in heaven appeared and started praising God that the Messiah was born. It's a reminder that he's coming, that he's going to show up, that he's going to be present, that he's going to render judgment, that his word is going to be fulfilled, that he's going to be here amongst us. Preparations for this day is that we are to go and to separate ourselves, we are to wash our clothing, and on the third day, for the third day, Jehovah will come down on Mount Sinai before the eyes of the people. They are to separate themselves, be made holy, be cleaned up and prepare and get ready for action. Do I really have to explain what that means? No? Everybody sort of understands what the metaphor means? Yeah? Got a nuance here? To wash, to rid yourself of the dirt and the filth and the things you pick up in this world. Okay? Going about your daily lives, sometimes you pick up bad habits or you pick up things from other people. Or kids, we go to school and people say stuff and kids say stuff. And sometimes we take it home with us. Bad attitudes. Yah wants us to wash that off, to get cleaned up, to go before him and get washed up. Does that make sense to everybody? He wants us to be a people who love him and who obey his instructions. Exodus chapter 19 verse 12 says, you are to set limits to the people around about and be careful not to go up to the mountain or each touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain will surely be put to death. No hand is to touch him, for he must be stoned or shot by arrows, and an animal or human is allowed to live. When the shofar sounds, they may go up on the mountain. Okay? This is talking about the Sanhedrin, Yah's people being called up to be with him. Okay? Yah said, when they heard the blast of the shofar, Yah said the 10 words to us all. We heard him speak his word to us. The changes he wants to make in our lives, he spelled out. All the people experienced the thunder and the lightning and the sound of the shofar and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. They said to Moses, you speak with us and we will listen, but we won't let God speak to us because we're going to die. Moshe answered, don't be afraid, because Jehovah has come only to test you and make you fear him so that you don't commit sins. It's a wake-up call to pay attention to his word. It's a wake-up call to pay attention to him. It's a wake-up call to get ready to enter into that holy place with him. Okay? Does anyone have any questions? No? Play the first video, the traditional one.
Shalom and welcome to Parsha in 60 Seconds. Today's portion is
bonus round.
It's a bonus round. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, also known as the Jewish New Year, is the first of the Jewish high holy days that were listed in Leviticus. You laugh, you cry, you're judged by God. Sounds fun, right? It starts with a blast from the shofar. Which calls us to humble ourselves and recognize our need for God's grace. Next day, gather at the nearest stream or river to symbolically cast away sin. This is called tashle, which means cast off. It is customary to greet one another by saying, Lashana tova techatevu, which means may your name be inscribed for a good year. The inscribing refers to the Book of Life, which according to Jewish tradition closes 10 days later. Jewish tradition includes rounded challah to represent the crown of God, and the dipping of apples and honey to wish for a sweet and fruitful year. Rabbis and cantors wear white to represent purity, and that is Rosh Hashanah in 60 seconds. Boom!
You know what? Let me explain it to you. So what are you going to do for Rosh Hashanah?
Look, I'm all for New Year's parties, but the Jewish New Year? I mean, it's just going to be a bunch of guys praying, right? What's the fun in that?
It's the holiest time of the year. A time for introspection, appreciation, and... You know what? Let me explain it to you a little bit differently. Guys!
My spot, do you know the place? While in the slot, why am we drink with family now? Good deed to do, good for the soul. Fish head, rams on show for gold. Give me some money, appeal for the girl.
Yo, I'm returning to the folk, can you explain? Oh, got this desire to know. Thomas, go say hello. Our friend Rock, yeah, we're the Jews and we question. Got the pride.
lives are changing.
Rosh Hashanah's in the house tonight. All the world is passing through the night. Let's all get written in the book of life. Shout out to five holiday time.
Shuffling. Shuffling. Shofar blast. All across the world, we're gonna do this task. Apples and honey. Feeling glad, now stop, now never get mad.
Getting the Swedish cup.
Muffins around.
Books are opened up.
The hollow's around.
All our history.
We see it now.
Now please hear our plea. We're praying now.
Stand up, sit down. Pass the prayer books around. Stand up, sit down. Pass the prayer books around.
It's called Jewish New Year, but it's not really Jewish New Year. What I'll do is I'll play another video now, and the guy will answer it very, very concisely. He's way better than I can, so that's why I'm playing the video. Okay? Play the next one.
Hello and welcome to another teaching from 119 Ministries. Our ministry believes that the whole Bible is still true and directly related to our lives today. If you would like to know more about what we believe and teach, please visit us at testeverything.net. Shalom. When learning about applying the whole Word of God, one of the first topics of interest always becomes the Moedim, Yahweh's appointed days, holy days, or holidays, if you will. These are the days our Creator gave us to celebrate Him, and to prophetically learn about what our Messiah did and still must do. While there are many opinions held concerning the holy days, we want to do our best in presenting a general overview. We simply want to help give a better understanding to these important days in the eyes of Yahweh. Many have looked at these days as just being for the Jews. However, we know that the Jews do not represent all 12 tribes of Israel. Plus, we know that these were given to all who choose to follow Yahweh, including Gentiles. Numbers 15. The community is to have the same rules for you and the alien living among you. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. You and the alien shall be the same before Yahweh. The same laws and regulations will apply both to you and to the alien living among you. For more on how there is one law for all, please watch our teaching, The Mixed Multitude. In this teaching, we'll present some basics on Yom Teruah. Some might be familiar with this moed as Rosh Hashanah, or also the Day of Trumpets. We will discuss the different names in this teaching as well. Yom Teruah is a moed, or an appointed day, but it is not a feast day. As covered in the Passover teaching in this series, there are three feast days according to the Torah. All feast days are Moedim, but not all Moedim are feast days. Leviticus 23 is the Torah hotspot for our Creator's holidays, so it makes sense to start there. Leviticus 23. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with a blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to Yahweh." It is also found in Numbers 29. "On the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets, and you shall offer a burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to Yahweh. one bull from the herd, one ram, 7 male lambs a year old without blemish. Also, their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, with 1 male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering of the new moon and its grain offering and the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and their drink offering, according to the rule for them, a pleasing aroma of food offering to Yahweh. Yom Teruah is the only appointed time that falls on the first day of the month, or the new moon. All Moedim and new moons are to include a blasting of trumpets, Numbers chapter 10, verse 10. On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am Yahweh, your God. Outside of the instructions solely for the Levites, we see that there is not a lot of detail prescribed in the observance of this day. We are to rest and make a loud noise. It's about as simple as it gets. The appointed days exist to teach us about what the Messiah has done and or will do in the future. There is not a lot to prophetically go on in Scripture as it relates to Yom Teruah, except for the word Teruah itself. So we will start there. The phrase translated to a blast of trumpets is from the word Teruah, which is where the name of this originates, Yom Teruah, or the day of shouting, or the day of trumpets. Teruah is translated as shouting, alarm of war or battle cry, a blast for marching, or a shout of joy. Shouting in Scripture is often correlated with joy and praise. Psalm 47, clap your hands, all peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy. Psalm 66, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Psalm 81, sing aloud to God our strength, shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise to Yahweh, all the earth. Here are some interesting verses containing the Hebrew word Teruah. Numbers chapter 10, when you blow an alarm, the camps that are on the east side shall set out. Numbers 23, he has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. Yahweh their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. 1 Samuel 4, as soon as the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh came into the camp, all Israel gave a mighty shout so that the earth resounded. Job chapter 33, then man prays to God, and he accepts him, and he sees his face with a shout of joy, and he restores to man his righteousness. Shouting, trumpet, alarm, all means of making a loud noise for various purposes. So Yom Teruah contains not only shouting of his people, but trumpets as well. We also saw such activity at Jericho. And in the context of the day of the Lord at our Messiah's return, we find an interesting verse, which also reminds us of Jericho. A day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. So continue to keep the theme of shouting, blowing trumpets, joy, and the start of war in mind as we consider the prophetic implications of this day later in the teaching. If you recall, Jericho contained a moment of shouting by the people. This was prefaced by a sound of a ram's horn or a trumpet, Joshua chapter 6. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, Teruah. And the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, Yom Teruah is also referred to as Zichron Teruah. The word Zichron is sometimes translated as memorial or a remembrance, often in reference and speaking to the name of Yahweh. For example, see these other verses. The day of Zichron Teruah, the memorial shout, may be of particular importance. It is a day that we are to remember or memorialize something. Prophetically, Yom Teruah is often associated or linked with the return of our Messiah. Some reasoning is found in 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Matthew 24, Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. When the Messiah comes, there will be a shout and a trumpet. There will be great joy in those who believe, and the Messiah declares war and judgment on the nations. These are things that prophetically link to this particular appointed day. Traditionally, Yom Teruah begins a 10-day period leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. These 10 days are called the Yomim Noraim, or the Days of Awe by tradition. The sounding of the shofar on Yom Teruah is a wake-up blast and a sober reminder that the day is near for the Day of Atonement. This is an alarm. It is a call to teshuva, which is repentance and turning back to the commandments of Yahweh. This tradition is likely not an invention of man. Joel chapter 2, which we'll cover in a moment, could be considered more core evidence related to Yom Teruah existing as a call back to repentance for us and the reality of the start of the day of the Lord as our Messiah returns. These 10 days are ones of great introspection, heart-searching, and self-examination. Here's another portion of prophecy related to the beginning of the day of the Lord when our Messiah returns. Note the usage of a trumpet as a wake-up call and sounding of alarm for his people for repentance. Joel chapter 2, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. Their like has never been seen before, nor will be again after them throughout the years of all generations. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses they run. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame on the fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. They march each on his way. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful. For the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Return to the Lord. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love as he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast, all solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Today, few people remember the biblical name of Yom Teruah, and instead it is widely known as Rosh Hashanah, which literally means head of the year, and hence also New Year's. The transformation of Yom Teruah, Day of Shouting, into Rosh Hashanah, New Year's, is the result of pagan Babylonian influence upon the Jewish nation. The first phase in the adoption and evolution of these pagan ways was the adoption of the Babylonian month names. In the Torah, the months are numbered as first month, second month, third month, etc. While the house of Judah, or Jews, were in Babylonia, the usage of the pagan Babylonian month names began, a fact readily admitted in the Talmud. The names of the months came up with them from Babylonia, the Jerusalem Talmud. The pagan roots of the Babylonian month names is illustrated by the fourth month known as Tammuz. In the Babylonian religion, Tammuz was the god of grain, whose annual death and resurrection brought fertility to the world. In the book of Ezekiel, the prophet described a journey to Jerusalem in which he saw the Jewish woman sitting in the temple, weeping over Tammuz. The reason they were weeping over Tammuz is that, according to Babylonian mythology, Tammuz had been slain but had not been resurrected. In ancient Babylonia, the time for weeping over Tammuz was the early summer, when the rain ceased throughout the Middle East and the green vegetation is burnt by the unrelenting sun. To this day, the fourth month in rabbinical calendar is known as the month of Tammuz, and it is still a time for weeping and mourning. Some of the Babylonian month names found their way into the later books of the Tanakh, but they always appear alongside the Torah month names. For example, Esther chapter 3. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus. This verse starts off by giving the Torah name for the first month, and then translates this month into the pagan equivalent, which is the month of Nisan. When we arrive at Esther, all the Jews lived within the boundaries of the Persian Empire, and the Persians had adopted the Babylonian calendar for the civil administration of their realm. At first, the Jews used these Babylonian month names alongside the Torah month names. But, as with anything, over time, the Torah month slowly faded away. This introduction of Babylonian months paved the way and set the stage to adopt other Babylonian ways. Many of the earliest known rabbis, such as Hillel I, were born and educated in Babylonia. Indeed, Babylonia remained the heartland of rabbinical Judaism until the fall of the Gaonate in 11th century CE. The Babylonian Talmud abounds with the influences of Babylonian paganism. Indeed, pagan deities even appear in the Talmud recycled as Jewish angels and demons. One of these more serious charges to our Creator's calendar was the introduction of Yom Teruah as being a New Year's celebration. From the very early times, the Babylonians had a lunar solar calendar very similar to the biblical calendar. Because of this, Yom Teruah often fell out on the same day as the Babylonian New Year's festival of Akitu. The Babylonian Akitu fell out on the first day of Tishri, which coincided with the Yom Teruah on the first day of the seventh month. When Jews started calling the seventh month by the Babylonian name Tishri, it paved for the turning of Yom Teruah into a Hebrew Akitu. At the same time, the rabbis did not want to adopt Akitu outright, so they Hebrewized it by changing the name of Yom Teruah, Day of Shouting, to Rosh Hashanah, New Year's. The fact that the Torah did not give a blatant reason for the observance of Yom Teruah, no doubt, made it easier for the rabbis to proclaim it as a type of New Year's. Some simple research will reveal the contradictions of labeling Yom Teruah as the head of the year. This biblical festival falls out on the first day of the seventh month, Leviticus 23. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with a blast of trumpets, a holy convocation." However, in the context of Babylonian culture, this was perfectly natural, and it became natural for the house of Judah as well. Thus, it is still today. The Babylonians actually celebrated Akitu, New Year's, twice every year, once on the first of Tishri, and again 6 months later on the first of Nisan. The first Babylonian Akitu celebration coincided with Yom Teruah, and the second Akitu coincided with the actual New Year's in the Torah on the first day of the first month. While the rabbis proclaimed Yom Teruah to be New Year's, they still recognized that the first day of the first month in the Torah was, as the name implied, also a New Year's. They could hardly deny this based on Exodus chapter 12, which says, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It is first of the months of the year." The context of this verse speaks about the celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which falls in the first month. In light of this verse, the rabbis could not deny that the first day of the first month was a biblical New Year's. But in the cultural context of Babylonia, where Akitu was celebrated as New Year's twice a year, it made perfect sense that Yom Teruah could be a second New Year's, even though it was in the seventh month. In contrast to Babylonian paganism, the Torah does not say or imply that Yom Teruah has anything to do with New Year's. On the contrary, the Feast of Sukkot, which takes place exactly 2 weeks after Yom Teruah, is referred in one verse as the going out of the year, or the turn of the year. Some modern rabbis have argued that Yom Teruah is actually referred to as Rosh Hashanah in Ezekiel chapter 40, which describes a vision that the prophet had. at the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, on the 10th of the month. In fact, Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 1 proves that the phrase Rosh Hashanah does not mean New Year's. Instead, it retains its literal sense of the head of the year, referring to the first month in the Torah calendar. The 10th day of Rosh Hashanah in Ezekiel chapter 40 refers to the 10th day of the first month. What about Leviticus chapter 25, verse 9? Some people have argued that Yom Teruah should be considered New Year's because it is the beginning of the sabbatical year. However, the Torah does not say that Yom Teruah is the beginning of the sabbatical year, and all indications are that the sabbatical year begins on the first day of the first month. The Torah does say the following, Leviticus 25. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. This verse is saying that a trumpet, or a shofar, should be used to announce the arrival of the Jubilee year, the 50th year in the sabbatical system. It does not say that Jubilee begins on the Day of Atonement, only that the impending arrival of the Jubilee year is announced on the Day of Atonement. The shofar is to be passed around the land on Yom Kippur of the 49th year, 6 months before the beginning of the coming Jubilee year. This interpretation is supported by the immediate context in Leviticus 25. Verse 8 says to count 49 years. Verse 9 says to pass the shofar throughout the land. And verse 10 says to proclaim the 50th year as the Jubilee. This shows that the shofar announcing the coming Jubilee in verse 9 is passed through the land before the Jubilee is actually proclaimed in verse 10. This makes sense because it allows ample time for people to prepare for a coming Jubilee year. It's a six-month warning, if you will. In summary, Yom Teruah is the first appointed time, or Moed, that occurs in the fall. There is a biblical connection to a reminder of calling us back to the Word of God, to Teshuvah, or repent. It is a day that we rest and make a loud noise. A loud noise can be a shout, but it is also correlated with a shofar and or trumpets. The loud noise is correlated with joy and praise back to our Creator. A call or start of war, an alarm to wake us up back into repentance. Prophetically, Yom Teruah could be related to our Messiah's return, in which we are called to be ready in repentance, experience the joy of His return, give praise back to our Creator, and the war or judgment to the nations by our Messiah may begin. Yom Teruah is often called Rosh Hashanah by Jewish tradition. This Jewish tradition likely derived from Babylon and their worship of false gods and their respective holidays. Thus, we prefer to use the Hebraic wording of Yom Teruah, or perhaps the English equivalent as the Day of Shouting or the Day of Trumpets. We hope that this teaching has blessed you. Remember, continue to test everything. Shalom.
Okay, did everybody get that? Does anyone have any questions? That was pretty clear, wasn't it? Everybody understands that now? Okay, good.
From my earlier studies, it seemed to be that in Babylon is when they moved the start of the day to sunset, because that was the Babylonian system. In Egypt, it was sunrise.
Okay. All right, would you like to play the next video, please?
The sound of the shofar is the sound of God's victory, God reigning. Now let's take the pieces of the puzzle and let's put them together with a message for the end time believer. Number one, the day of the shofar comes at the end of the Hebrew year. It announces the closing of the sacred cycle of the holy days, the closing up. So what is it telling you? The shofar is linked to the end, especially. It's linked to the end things. In Greek, the word for end is eschka. And you put it together, you get the word eschatology, if you ever heard about that. Eschatology is the study of the last days or the end things. So the shofar is linked especially to the last days, to the end time believer. That's you. And the mystery of the age is that God has set up the entire age as a Hebrew year, meaning the Hebrew year begins in the spring with the holy days, Passover and Pentecost. And so the gospel begins in the spring with Passover, Messiah on the cross, and Pentecost, the Spirit. And then comes the summer harvest, where we are now in the summer harvest, about go forth and preach the gospel. But the Hebrew year closes in the autumn. September, October is when it all comes home. And the Feast of Trumpets ushers that all in. So the trumpets are linked to the mystery of the end of the age. The end times, what is yet to come. The Feast of Trumpets holds the mystery of the end. The shofar was about the holy things, about the awesome things. It ushers in the days of awe. And what that's saying, what's that revelation? The end times, they're going to be, there's things to be scared about, that people can be scared about. There's heavy things, there's evil, but it's also prophetically the awesome days. Because God's purposes are being fulfilled. The end times are awesome times because prophecy is fulfilled. You can look at all the evil, but at the same time, look, Israel's back in the world. That's thousands of years of prophecy fulfilled in our day. And the awesome times. It's awesome to live in the end times. The shofar was a holy instrument. That says also the end times will be a time not only of evil and sin and apostasy, but of holiness. Holiness, meaning God's people, means you as an end time believer have to especially walk in the power of holiness. The shofar is the sound that calls Israel, his people, to gather together. Now, look at that. I mean, here you've got that. So what happens in the end times? This always called Israel to gather together. So what's the end times? It's the time of the shofar, meaning Israel, the children of Israel, are going to gather again together to Zion. The end times can only happen once Israel is gathered together in Zion. It has happened. It's happening. We're in the end times. Even when we talk about whatever, or we look at what's going to happen in the Middle East with Syria, it's always the backdrop that what's going to happen with Israel. The shofar is the sound that tells you that the summer harvest is ending. So whatever, you got to finish it up, reap your fields, do what you have. So what it's saying is, in the end times, it's saying, God is saying, finish up. If you, whatever has not been reaped for the gospel, reap. Wherever you have to go, spread the gospel. Whatever you have to do, don't wait. It has to be preached to all nations. Go forth, spread the gospel. Because the holy days only come as the harvest is coming to its close. We have to preach the gospel to all nations. End time believer. Whatever you would do, do it now. Don't say wait, because this is the time, crucial time. Another puzzle piece here. It says that the shofar is the sound of war and danger. What does that mean for the end times? What's the revelation? The end times will be times of danger. The word says there will be perilous times. It says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. If you're not on the right side of the shofar, if you're not in the will of God, it's a time of fear. But if you are in the will of God, you don't have to fear anything. Let's take another puzzle piece. The sound of the shofar was the sound of the watchmen on the walls. What does that mean? You as God's people in the end times, you are to be a watchman. It means especially, what's it about a watchman? The watchman, he ministered, or she, in your case, in some of your cases, ministered at night. When it was night, that was his time of rising. Well, the end times are times of spiritual night, but you have to be vigilant. You cannot sleep. As people are falling asleep spiritually, you have to stay awake. You have to be vigilant. You cannot fall asleep to sin like the others are doing. You have to stand for God. The mantle of the watchman is on you. The charge is for you. You have a charge to sound warning and sound the gospel boldly to those who are lost. You have a calling to wake up the sleeping, sounding the alarm to the perishing. If you don't, the blood's on your head. The watchman, you has to stay not only awake and vigilant, the watchman has to stay separate from the city so he can warn the city. If you're in the city, you can't warn the city. You have to be above the city. You cannot be caught up in all the junk of this culture and then be a light to this culture. You have to be separate from the culture. That doesn't mean separate from people, but you have to be separate from the sin of this age. and separate from the junk of this age and be in the presence of God so you can be a warning, you can be a blessing. And the watchman stays vigilant on the watchtower and waits. It says it waits for the dawn to come. That's the end time believer. What was the shofar? The shofar marked, we said it marked the beginning and end of times. It sounded the beginning of months and the end of months. Well, listen to this. Last days, scripture. Revelation. And when he broke the seventh seal, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given them. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. There shall be delay no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, which is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. The mystery of God. What is this? The last day's shofar, when that seventh angel sounds, it will sound, he will mark the end. It's always been the marker of the end and the beginning of what's coming. The mystery of God will be finished with the sound of the shofar, the sound of the trumpet. The shofar tells us that the last days will be the times of the end and the beginning. It'll be the changing of time. It's the end and it's something new. And at the same time, you know, it says the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of the Lord. When the shofars or the trumpets are sounded. Now let's take the other puzzle.
Okay. In conclusion, we celebrate the day of shouting that is announced by the shofar. We are to remember that it is a call to meet with Jehovah. It is a time to wash and prepare our lives through repentance and separation from the unclean. Let us dress in the appropriate Torah-authorized wedding garments, not the traditions of men that are as dirty rags before our God. In 9 days, not including today, it's Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, which speaks of the judgment and salvation. Let's get washed in our Messiah's sacrifice, in his blood, and take on his new life and repent of our Torah violations so that we can enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Does anyone have any questions about Rosh Hashanah or what we've covered? Yom Teruah, my apologies. All right then, would you like to play the next video while everybody distributes the emblems? Oh, we'll go into this, sorry. We'll do the Yeshua's Remembrance Service, then we'll play the next video. All right. Here the days are coming, says Jehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like a covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Jehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Jehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. See you, Elohim.
And my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Jehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Jehovah's Zevaot is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, hamatz lechem min ha'aretz.
King of the universe, who's brought forth bread from the earth, Yehovah Zevaot, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah, let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yehovah, Yeshua HaMashiach HaKol. Baruch Ata Yehovah Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch Ata Yehovah Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, Borei Mini Besamin.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
I'd like to invite the ladies and gentlemen to come forward and to distribute the emblems, the the wine and the besamin. Yep. And the besamin for the people. And would you guys like to play the next video while you're at it? Or the next two if you can? One after the other. While we're all having some.
You're insecure. Your life's a blur. You can't control the way you feel anymore. You got no clue of what to do. And you're tired of being confused.
So come on, we've all been wrong. Don't think you're ever too far gone. This is the time to hit rewind. New Year is here, leave the old one behind.
And you'll surely find what really counts in this world is what you see inside. Because your soul is way brighter than skin can shine.
Oh, brush the shine as beautiful.
Embark on this journey beyond yourself. You'll also lift the whole world to another realm.
Okay. Is it? Oh, it's still going. Do you want to play the next one, please, while we're waiting? Play the next one while we're waiting.
Turn yourself around, the world is spinning. Feel the magic of a new day. Open your heart to a fresh start, send your fears away. You've made mistakes, you feel it. You got what it takes, believe it. Any wrong can be made right. Just forgive me, you need not fight. Shana tova ume tuka, it's Rosh Hashanah.
Shana na 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 tova ume ume tuka. Keep your apple.
Rosh Hashanah.
So many new hopes waiting to find you. Open your eyes, the dreams you prize are all around you. The smiles are hiding, no use in guessing. Make up your mind, go out and find life's simple blessings.
Shana,
Shana, na na na, Tova, ume ume tuka.
ראש השנה.
יהי רצון שנהיה לראש לא זנה. Sweet in life for those around us with joy and love.
אבינו מלכנו, חללו בנינו.
Hear our prayer, O Lord, this hour.
Inscribe us in the book of life.
Shana,
give us life, Lord, and sustain us.
Oh, deliver us to salvation.
Give us life, Lord, and sustain us.
Oh, deliver us to salvation.
In this new year,
oh, Rosh Hashanah,
make your loved ones smile.
It's Rosh Hashanah.
Open your hearts to one another.